Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is a pleasure to see all of you here on this really hot day. I need to get hotter. It was 80 when I got here this morning, which seemed a little insane to me. So I just want to make sure that each of you know that you're really, really welcome here today. No matter who you are, no matter who you love, no matter if this is your very first day, no matter if you've been coming for 50 years, if you haven't been here in a while, you are welcome. Every person is welcome because you are each a beloved child of the universe. I want to make a couple of announcements. If you have your phones on, if you can put them on airplane mode or turn off, that definitely gives us more wavelength at home. If you're a visitor, you can fill out the little visitor forms in the back of your chairs if you haven't already. There's also one of those QR codes, so you can do it online if you want. And then we can send you our e-blast and other information so you know what's happening here. So that's important to know. I wanted to let you know that we're going to have a coffee house here next week. The Pirettes are going to be showing next Saturday at 7 o'clock. And so we really invite people. The last coffee house was really a lot of fun. So you are welcome to join us for that. There's also coffee hour online. If you're online this morning, there was a link in your order of service, and we have coffee downstairs. We're trying something a little bit new today. We have a puzzle down there that people can work week to week. And so if that's just something that you find enjoyable with other people, that would be something fun we could do. 108.
Good morning. My name is Sarah, and I am your lay leader this morning. My pronouns are she and they. I'd like to share with you our opening reading, Blessed Are the Makers, by Reverend Marcus Liefert. Oh, you who are makers, makers of beauty, of paintings and pottery and sculpture, blessed is the making. You who make with hands and hearts and minds, who make out of breath and bones and blood human lives, blessed are the makers. Blessed are those who make us laugh, who make jokes and faces and toys. Blessed are those who make messes, who make trouble and friends, and when needed, make up. Blessed are those who make do, who make it last, make it work, make beds, and make time for others. Blessed are those who make love, who make out and make more, and make mistakes. Blessed are those who make coffee and tea, who make conversation, who make meaning in the face of tragedy, who make merriment and awaken joy. Blessed are those who make peace, for they shall inherit the earth.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Liz. I'm the director of religious education here at WOLF. My pronouns are kind of all over the place, so you don't have to worry about that too much. Right now is the time for all ages. So if any kids or adults want to come and sit in the front row and listen to the story today, we'll have our slideshow and afterwards. We'll sing the kids out to the playground today in the north parking lot. We're going to be planting some vegetables. Today's story is called What Do You Do With an Idea? Written by Kobe Yamada and illustrated by Mac Beesom. One day I had an idea. Where did it come from? Why is it here? I wondered, what do you do with an idea? At first, I didn't think much of it. It seemed kind of strange and fragile. I didn't know what to do with it, so I just walked away. But it followed me. I worried about what people would think. What would people say about my idea? I kept it to myself. I hid it away and didn't talk about it. I tried to act like everything was the same as it was before my idea showed up. But there was something magical about my idea. I had to admit, I felt better and happier when it was around. It wanted food. It wanted to play. Actually, it wanted a lot of attention. It grew bigger, and we became friends. I showed it to other people, even though I was afraid of what they might say. I was afraid that if people saw it, they would laugh at it. I was afraid they would think it was silly. And many of them did. They said it was no good. They said it was too weird. They said it was a waste of time and it would never become anything. And at first I believed them. I actually thought about giving up on my idea. I almost listened to them. But then I realized, what do they really know? This is my idea. No one knows it like I do. It's okay if it's different or weird or a little crazy. I decided to protect it and care for it. I fed it good food. I worked with it. I played with it. And most of all, I gave it lots of attention. And my idea grew and grew, and so did my love for it. I built it a new house, one with an open roof, where it could look up at the stars, a place where it could be safe to dream. I liked being with my idea. It made me feel more alive, like I could do anything. It encouraged me to think big and then to think bigger. It shared its secrets with me. It showed me how to walk on my hands because, it said, it's good to see things differently. I couldn't imagine my life without it. And then something amazing happened. My idea changed right before my eyes. It spread its wings, took flight, and burst into the sky. I didn't know how to describe it, but it went from being here to being everywhere. It wasn't just part of me. It was a part of everything. And then I realized what you do with an idea. You change the world. That's a pretty cute story. I really love that story. I think it illustrates some of the anxieties and joys of being creative and having ideas. Some kids who are here might remember that in RE class a few months ago, we sat down and had lots of ideas with each other, and we got super creative about what the kids wanted. Our kids' creativity and ideas like coming to fruition. So,
what a wonderful story. As I was listening, I was thinking about how WOOF itself started as an idea. And people shared that idea, brought it together, took a risk to nurture it with each other, and we get to share the benefit of that idea. And so as I reflect on that, I think about the gratitude I have for those who took the risk to nurture and share their ideas. And it's not easy, right? We come up with these ideas and we want to see them grow, but they require a lot. They require our time, our attention, our giving. And so as we share the offering this morning, I invite you to think about the ideas that you've had, both in your life and for WOOF and in your communities, and think about the ways that you can give to them and nurture them. And thank you to all of you for your gifts of time, talent, and treasure. We gratefully receive this offering.
There is so much joy and happiness in the world. The outdoors are bright with joy, with the spring flowers. It's amazing. Goodness and beauty just bloom all around us. And here together, we create a community of celebration, deep enough to hold all of the joy in our lives. There's almost also so much pain and suffering in our world. Each of us knows loss and suffering. And here together we create a circle of compassion wide enough to hold all of our sorrows and all of our pain. So now we're just going to have a moment of quiet reflection. And when the music begins, please come forward if you feel moved to do so and place a stone in the bowl of water for your joys or your sorrow. The water is the community of compassion that holds all joy, and it is the community of celebration that holds all joy, and the community of compassion that holds all sorrows. And we are going to come out at the very end with the hymn 1013, Open My Heart, which will be on the screen when the music begins, and you can stay seated for that.
Open my heart to all that I see. Let me be part of the love you give. Open my heart to all that I see. Let me be part of the love you
On this Mother's Day, let us hold in our hearts all who love their mothers, who had blessed childhoods, and whose mothers loved them and supported them through adulthood, and celebrate today with joy. Let us also hold those who have been hurt by their mothers, don't like their mothers, or no longer speak to their mothers, and find today painful. Let us hold those whose mothers have died and today are filled with sadness or guilt or relief. Let us hold everyone who is a mother in our hearts, those who have found mothering fulfilling, those who discovered too late they were not suited to the task and those who muddle along best they can. Let us hold those who parent, who are neither mothers or fathers, and for whom this day can feel uncomfortable or confusing. Let us remember those who wanted to be a mother, but never could, or those who still try month after month without success, those who have given up children for adoption and wonder where and how they are, those who are separated from their children or their mothers by distance or estrangement. Let us remember, particularly now, those who don't want or can't mother a child, but find themselves pregnant in places where they have no choice but to give birth, and that are, thus are forced into this sacred, challenging task without resources or desire. Being a mother and being in relationship with a mother can bring out our very best and our very worst. So let us bless all of us on this Mother's Day, wherever we are, whatever we need today. You are blessed. Let us have a moment of silence, reflection, or meditation or prayer, as is your tradition.
And many thanks to our choristers for that offering. Part of the core of Unitarian Universalism is to receive wisdom and inspiration from many sources. This morning, a reading from one such source, Creative Living, defined by Elizabeth Gilbert. So this, I believe, is the central question upon which all creative living hinges. Do you have the courage to bring forth the treasures that are hidden within you? Look, I don't know what's hidden within you. I have no way of knowing such a thing. You yourself may barely know, although I suspect you've caught glimpses. I don't know your capacities, your aspirations, your longings, your secret talents. But surely something wonderful is sheltered inside you. I say this with all confidence because I happen to believe we are all walking repositories of buried treasure. I believe this is one of the oldest and most generous tricks the universe plays on human beings, both for its own amusement and for ours. The universe buries strange jewels deep within us and all, and then stands back to see if we can find them. The hunt to uncover those jewels, that's creative living. The courage to go on that hunt in the first place, that's what separates a mundane existence from a more enchanted one. The often surprising results of that hunt, that's what I call big magic.
So our theme this month is creativity. And I, like Elizabeth Gilbert, believe that each of us grows and benefits from being creative and living creative lives. Why do I think this? Because creativity is basically human, and creating is foundational to who we are as human beings, just like opposable thumbs, smiling, laughing, and making music. As children, all of us played and imagined. Puppies wrestle, goats leap, kittens stalk. Human children make mud pies and build fairy houses. They play school and Legos. They color and paint. They blow into recorders, beat drums, and sing. As toddlers, they begin to dance. Children imagine and create as easily as they breathe. But what is creativity, anyway? We think we know. All of us have some idea of what that is. But in fact, it's a really fraught conversation. When the academics and artists start hammering out specific concrete definitions, the definition is absolutely contested. It is very tricky to pin down just what it is. And after reading many definitions, I decided that Wikipedia said it as clearly as we needed for our purposes. It is a phenomena whereby something new and valuable is formed. The creative item may be intangible, such as an idea, scientific theory, musical composition, or a joke, or a physical object, such as an invention, a printed literary work, or a painting. Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote the book Big Magic, which we heard from in today's reading, says creativity is constantly choosing the path of curiosity over the path of fear. Which, of course, sounds absolutely nothing like Wikipedia's definition. Wikipedia describes creativity as a phenomenon, which is as good a word as any that I've seen. Which means it's something we know, witness, and experience, but we can't quite grasp what that is in terms of a thing or what is it. Gilbert's definition is about what you have to do to participate in the phenomena of creativity. What she says is, you have to be brave. Since we're already creative, that's like the standard. So to participate, you have to be brave. The word creativity comes up with a lot of not being good enough for so many of us. I know people who do not sing because they were told they could not hold a tune. I know people who love to paint but do not because they never felt like they could do it well enough. They weren't talented. I know people who love to write but just can't make themselves because what they write down doesn't sound like they want it to sound. So many of us have been burnt by a culture that focuses on outcomes of creativity and perfection. We don't think it's creative unless you can make money at it or get thousands of likes on social media. Being creative, making something new and valuable, at least for us, is an opening to possibilities. It is the process of acting out those possibilities and just seeing what happens. Maybe the result of our creativity is really significant, like the creation of penicillin to fight human illness, or the Mona Lisa. Or maybe it's smaller, like redecorating in a room in a way that feels really satisfying and right, or just changing up that macaroni and cheese recipe. What is important is for each of us, that what's important about creativity for all of us is that it's a process. The end product, that doesn't matter what the end product is. For us to live truly creative, enlivened lives, we need to focus on the process. A creative life is an amplified life, says Gilbert. It's a bigger life, a happier life, an expanded life, and a hell of a lot more interesting life. Gilbert, in this morning's reading, described a treasure within us that we can excavate. And this morning, the choristers sang that we each have a song that is our blood. I believe that both these metaphors refer to the same essence, something essential about how each of us engages with a world that is unique and matters. And we can discover more about this through being creative. Those treasures or songs come up out of the being, out of our being, or through the interconnected web, or from muses, or whatever. We grapple and work with our interests that engage us the most. And then we make known for the unknown. We make space for the unknown to arrive and surprise us. Interestingly, all that said about being creative selves and that humans are creative, the idea that human beings are creative is actually a very recent development in Western culture. What we call creativity, the making of something new that has value, has traditionally been attributed to God or to the gods. In ancient Greece, new ideas or the creation of a work of art was considered the work of a demon or muse who visited a person. In Rome, they called this visitor a genius. A person was not a genius, but had a genius. A genius would come and go, and whether that genius came or not was not in control of the person. It wasn't until the Enlightenment that thinkers began placing the capacity to create within specific people. At this point, people became geniuses. They no longer had a genius. They were a genius. Still, most people continued through that time to sense that the impulse to create came from something outside of us, something that visited us. The creative were God-touched. It wasn't until the 20th century that the idea that a person could be creative on their own really became part of the common understanding. Dr. Camilla Nelson, an academic, has argued that creativity began to be revered as a special gift within individual people as a response to the Cold War. The U.S. wanted to be a country that was in no way like the Soviet Union. We wanted to be a place of flourishing, of new ideas and freedom. We wanted to be creative people. Today, creativity continues to be revered as the process for innovative ideas to fuel our capitalistic, consumeristic economy built on increased productivity and novelty. Where do you get your ideas? Neil Gaiman, an award-winning science fiction writer, says is the most hated question asked of every writer. Because there is no answer. Since creativity research began in the 1950s, that's when we started to study creativity in earnest, we've created literally dozens of theories about how creativity works. I actually looked at this one worksheet that somebody worked up that had 60 theories of creativity, and they were going to list out all the little pieces of it, and they said there's 1,500 little bits to the way creativity works, which, okay. So I think really what we can say very clearly is we don't know what happens. We do not understand creativity. Scientists usually put where creativity comes from inside the conscious mind. And somehow in our unconscious mind, we put dissimilar things together to create something new, which I think is a lot like saying we don't know. What we can observe within ourselves or with people who are engaged in creative activities, we can observe the process they go through to bring the new and valuable into existence. But when it actually happens, it's hidden out of sight. So it's the unconscious mind or gods and goddesses or some kind of networked human or natural mind. I mean, we really don't know. Sort of all the options are on the table. And I have to say that I really land with the Greeks and Romans on this. It seems to me, I mean, this is my experience. This is what it feels like. So, I mean, who knows what really happens. But this is what it feels like. It seems to me that a muse or something joins me at the keyboard. I am as startled and delighted by a fresh metaphor when I write it as when you hear it later. It feels like an absolute gift to me. I loved the metaphors in this morning's hymn that the choristers sang, their second hymn. One of the best lines in it is, "The flowers jumped like small goats." I don't know if you've heard that, but that is so delightful. It also said, "A ragged fringe of daisies waved," which is so cool. Or, "The dew loosened its morning smells." Those are such remarkable images. And I suspect the author did not methodically try metaphor after metaphor until he discovered one he liked, but that they flashed into his mind unbidden as he worked away at much less inspiring language. Often, like very often, like several times in every sermon I write, I get these very specific frustrated or bored feelings. I recognize them now. And I have learned over many years of just feeling the frustration or being really upset by the boredom that this is actually a sign that the muse needs some time. So when it happens, I just quit. I wash the dishes, I go for a walk, I make a phone call, I take a shower, and I do not think about it at all, anything about it. And when I return to the computer, it's just, I just know what to do. The next move, the next line, it's clear to me. And scientists do note that this stage is very common in the creative process. It's called incubation. So many great ideas have come when the person who's been wrestling with a problem is doing something else completely. So we know that's part of the process. How that comes to pass, we don't. Gilbert actually believes that ideas swirl through the world looking for a person who will take the idea and live it out fully, kind of like in the story this morning, like this idea just showed up for this child, right? And if a person says no, The idea goes swirling off, looking for another person who will say yes. And she says that many people have the same experience, that is why many people have the same experience of looking at a book or a business and thinking, but that was my idea. I thought of that. Or why in science several people make the same scientific breakthrough at the same time. Gaiman says something similar. He says ideas are everywhere and that writers and other artists are just the people who take them seriously. So how might we all engage with creativity? Here's the first thing, and this is the thing that I think is baffling in our culture and baffling to scientists who study this. But creativity is not something we can will. We cannot just decide that we're going to have a brilliant idea or create a remarkable piece of art and then just do it. It doesn't happen that way. We don't have that kind of, that part of us is not operational in this process. What does work is you have to show up, do the work. So if you're a writer, you write. If you're a painter, you paint. If you are a database designer, you design databases. If you're a science, you do science. And then you see what happens. And there really aren't a lot of shortcuts. You have to learn to lay the table. So if creativity visits, she's just more likely to stay. You have to discover where your creativity most likes to play and go hang out there. The first step in being a more creative person is to pay close attention. What projects, what questions, art, conversations give us genuine pleasure and enjoyment and sparks us into life? What are we curious about? What is intriguing? How do we attend to our what ifs and how abouts? It's really helpful to listen particularly hard for those whispers that are so tentative and soft because we've said no to those ideas so many times. Noticing what gives us a burst of energy, a pulse of excitement, a pause to ponder, can be really difficult if we're not used to paying such attention, or we've been dismissing such feelings our whole lives, and they've almost become unconscious now. The second step, though, engaging our idea, is the more challenging one. This is where we have to be brave, the quality that Gilbert most focuses on, and one that we saw demonstrated in this morning's story so clearly. That is very much, that story is the creative process brought to life. So, what happens? An idea, a question, a what if brushes against us, whispers in our ear. So something that I just thought of recently, kind of one of my ideas was, what if we considered mental illness a symptom of a community dysfunction instead of individual dysfunction? What would happen? So that's an idea I could play with. Or maybe suddenly you know the perfect yarn for the new pattern you just saw and you can just flashes into your eyes, that project. Or I get a flash of how to organize this great party where people get to know each other better. Or we realize how a system could be organized so the work is cut in half. Or you just know exactly how to place those lavender plants in this empty space in your garden. This is the moment. The idea, the flash, the whisper, it's come. And what will we do with it? Will I explore that question more? Will you knit the new pattern? Will we build the new system? Are we brave enough? Are we too worried it isn't a good idea or people will laugh? Will we dismiss it because we have no time without really considering maybe this is worth some making different priorities with our time? If we say no, will the idea persist or will it fade away looking for a more agreeable partner? What if it persists and makes us happy as we consider our idea, like the child in the story who just began hanging out with their idea, made them happy? And then one day, we have to decide, do we have the courage to mention it to other people? What if we tell other people and they laugh or scowl or look perplexed or just tell us how stupid it is? What happened to the little boy, the child in the story this morning? And it happens to all of us often. And if they do laugh, do we banish it? Or do we have the energy and courage to continue to bring it to life? We are taught to be so critical and judgmental and practical. We often kill our own creativity long before anyone, including ourselves, ever even knows we have it. Some of the reading I did about the research on creativity was laden with classism and disdain for the masses of people. In some academic articles, the authors argued that something could only be considered really creative only when other expert people decided it had cultural significance. All the other ideas that you and I might bring to life would simply be novel or new, they argued, but not valuable, thus meaning they were not creative in a way that would change the world. And that's really not worth these academic writers, highly educated white people mostly, had decided were the important things that needed to happen. Gilbert shakes her head at such ways of thinking about creativity, and I am absolutely with her. She says, what is important is that what you bring to life is authentic and meaningful to you. It's really the song in your blood. If it is enough, if it is valuable to you, and a complete wonder if it is valuable to people around you. The work really is opening the treasure box where you get to experience your essence, your way of being and reacting and engaging with life. Being creative is learning your song and how beautiful that is. It also means being surprised. Creativity is a surprise. It is happening in that black box, or it's given by the, you know, in our unconscious mind, or it's given by a muse, or we don't even know. But it's a surprise to us, and that is super fun and delightful, usually, not usually. And it's new, and you learn something new about what flows through you and how you engage with life. So the trick is, when the Spirit says do, say do. Where I was going to sing. 10:24, when the Spirit says do.
Do when the Spirit says do. dance.
You gotta dance when the Spirit says dance. You gotta dance when the Spirit says dance. When the Spirit says dance, you gotta dance, oh Lord. You gotta dance when the Spirit says do. Spirit says do. Spirit says do. Shout when the Spirit says shout. You gotta shout when the Spirit says shout. When the Spirit says shout, you gotta shout, oh Lord. You gotta do when the Spirit says do. Spirit says do. Spirit says do. Spirit says do. Spirit says do.
Blessed are those do, and the Spirit says do. Blessed are the makers. Blessed are you. When those ideas brush against you, whisper in your ear. When the Spirit calls, give it time. Entertain it. Play with it. Be surprised. Be blessed. Bless the world. I extinguish this flame, or Sarah does, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again.
Yeah.